The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Evening is Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer. I'd like to spend the evening on something which is related to Lag BaOmer, not directly but indirectly, and that is Rabbi Akiva plays a very prime role in Lag BaOmer and in the time between Pesach v'Atzeres. Let's see what we can learn from some of his words. Now, his first maimer, his first teachings in Masechet Ovis, which is on Perigimel, in Perigimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel, Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva said, "Tzchek v'kalis reish, margilin es odem le'ervo." Tzchek is laughter, but it refers also to frivolity. Kalis reish, this is frivolity. Margilin asodim le'erva brings a person to promiscuity, to acts of immorality. Meseiras siug l'teira, and then he mentions four safeguards. First he mentions one for Torah, and he says, what is the safeguard for Torah? Mesoras. Mesoras will have to leave for a few minutes, and we'll go into exactly what it means. Ma'asrei siyag la'osher. What is the safeguard for one's wealth? Ma'asrei. When he gives ma'aser, when he gives the tenth of his grain to the levim, or stoker. Nedorim siyag la'prishus. Prishus. What is the safeguard for prishus? Prishus means abstinence. We will explain this a little more, the definition of it, in a few minutes. Nedorim, vows. And the safeguard for one's wisdom is shtiko, silence. Now, Rabbi Akiva himself reached a height of perfection that it is difficult to say who else reached such a height. For example, the Gemara Masechet Menachos, which we've quoted many times, states that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving the Torah to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was writing the Kisrei Eisiyos, the crowns of the letters, the Tagim, and Meshon didn't understand, what are these crowns for? And Hashem said, it's not for you. Don't bother yourself with it. For another person that will come up in later generations, and he'll be Dedish Kolateira Kula, he will expound the entire Torah, and I have to give him something more. The Gemara in Brochus brings that at the time of his death, when the Romans killed him, and he said, the Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echod, a baskol, a voice from heaven came down and said, Ashrecho Akiva ben Yosef. How fortunate is Akiva the son of Yosef. She yotso nishmosa be'echod. She yotso nishmosa be'taro. That is, the Shema departed on the word echod, one, and in total perfection and purity. There are many such sources which we will not go into this evening. We've gone into this at other times. But at any rate, this was the level that the Rebbe Akiva reached, and especially in view of the fact of the level that he came from. To 40 years old, he said on himself he was an amoret, he was an ignorant person. And to reach such levels in Torah, not only one must be the Gaon Adir, the giant in Torah, but he has to be also the giant of perfection and a perfect balance. As it states, Torah Hashem Tamimah. Torah Hashem is Tamim, is perfect. So, firstly, we have to study his words very carefully. But secondly, actually, in this Maimer, the Maral has in his Pirush HaNovis an entire Pirush explanation on this. He's actually coming also to instruct us on perfection and balance. Now, first he tells us, Chek Pekalis Reish Magilin as Odom Le'ervo. When a person has too much laughter and frivolity, this can bring a person to promiscuity, to immorality. He's referring to the previous, what I'm doing, I'm following the Pirush of the Maral. He's referring to the previous Mishnah. The previous Mishnah was from his colleague Rabbi Shmuel, in which he said, "Ve'havi mekabeles kol odom b'simcha," that you should receive every person with simcha, with happiness and joy. And now he's telling us, Rabbi Kiva, that even though this is true, but one must be careful that he does not go to an extreme. Because if one goes to an extreme in simcha, then he's going to come to schaik and kalis resh, to frivolity and emptiness. Now this is something which is important all the time, and very important in our time. Because the madrega, the level of simcha, is from the highest level that we know of. Practice in the Torah tells us that the rebuke that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Yisrael tachas Hashem l'avarto as Hashem alakecho b'simcha b'tum levov merev kol. One of the reasons for the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash is that you had so much and you did not serve me with great joy. It implies that they did serve Hashem, but not with great joy. But anything and everything must be kept perfect. The Rambam always writes, it cannot go to the right, it cannot go to the left. Anything which is taken out of balance and is taken too much to an extreme is headed for trouble. If a person is not b'simcha, he goes off to the left, then he can become lidei atzfus, he can become broken, he becomes depressed, which is a very, very low level. And the same thing, if a person carries it too far, then he comes to schaik and kalestrosh. And that's what Rabbi Kiva tells us, be careful, because that's margilnes odom le'erva, that brings a person to immorality and promiscuity. The Rambam makes this chiluk in many places. This is the Rambam source for it. One of the places the Rambam makes mention of this is in the end of Hilchas Lulav. There he starts to tell us about the greatness of the Simcha. He brings it in Hilchas Lulav because he says, "Afalpi shekol ha'meyades mitzvah lismayach bohem," even though on all of the meyades, all of the Amhevim, it was a great mitzvah to rejoice. Brechaga Sukkos ha'yisam b'migdash yem simcha yisera. But on Sukkos, on the days of Sukkos, was even a special simcha, a great simcha. As it states, v'somachtem lifnei Hashem elokeichem shivash yomim, that you should rejoice before Hashem on the 7 days of Sukkos. Then he explains, what did they do? And they would start to be misameach mitzei yom tevrishayim. After the first day of Yom Tov, first night of Chol HaMoed, which is in Eretz Yisrael after the first day of Yom Tov, and every day towards the evening, after they would be makriv tomid shel ben aboyim, after every day after they would bring the sacrifice of the ben aboyim, they would carry on with this simcha shar hayayim in kol halayla for the rest of that day and the entire night, and this was every night. And what was this simcha? Achalil makeh u'menagnim b'kinor b'navolim. Everyone would bring their instruments and they would play their instruments, all types of music, and mishia there with the drums and with the harps and the violins and so forth, and mishia each one in accordance to how what he knew, mishia there bepair, and whoever knew how to sing would sing, and they would dance and so forth. And all of this time they would sing and say songs and praises to Hashem. And it's a great mitzvah to be marveh, to do as much of this as one can. Tomid shel ben aboyim was brought in the afternoon, so they would be mesameach after that and into the whole night, every night of Sukkot. This was what was known as the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. So now the Rambam qualifies. He says, he brings all types of dances they would do. They would be reitin, umesapkin, umetapchin, umefazazin, umekarkikin. All different types of dances and clapping and whatnot. Now one would think that it was a circus. Everybody brought his own instrument and everybody could, what he could play, and everybody would sing and everybody would dance and everybody would clap. It sounded like a big circus. So the Rambam says, no. He says, those who were ignorant or whoever wanted to did not take part in this. Only the Gedele Chachmi Yisrael, the great sages of Israel, the Rosh Yeshivas, the Hasanhedrin, the Hachasidim, the very righteous people, the Zakenim, the elders, the Anshei Maisa, those prestigious people of great deeds, Heim Shohoyu Maraktin, Mesapkin, Nagdin, Mesamchin, those were the ones who played the instruments and who danced and clapped and sang, B'migdosh in the Migdosh, B'mechag HaSukkos. Avokola Om Kulam Boin Lireis V'Lishmaya. The others came to see and to listen. In other words, it wasn't a circus. It wasn't Hefker. It was a simcha with a great depth. It was a simcha with tam, with great meaning. It was a simcha together with Torah. And each one that actually took part were from the greatest in Israel, and only them. Others watched, the others listened. Then he writes, "Asimcha shisamecha odet ba'asiyas mitzvah avol keil shutzivu ben avod gedolehi." That simcha, that joy, that one experiences when he does a mitzvah, when he learns Torah, he says, "This is from the great avodas. This is from the great ways to serve Hashem." And whoever abstains from this, he will have to give account. A din cheshbon. He brings the pasuk tachas Hashem le'avadatos Hashem elokecha b'simcha. Like HaKadosh Baruch Hu rebuked us because we served him without joy. And whoever says that, no, this is not for me, I'm above all of this, he says, no, this is the greatest honor to the person to be mesameach before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he brings ein dule va'koved el lismeach lifnei Hashem, and he brings from Dovid HaMelech how Dovid danced before Hashem, before the Orin. This is what he says at the end of Hilchas Sukkah, Sukkah v'Lulav. In Hilchas Yantif, Perek Vav, he writes as follows. He tells us what are the halachos when it comes to the mitzvahs essay, positive commandment of Simchas Yontif. And he tells us, he said that it's a great mitzvah, it's a mitzvah essay min haTorah. He says that what they used to do, the people, they would get up in the morning and they would go to Davin and to read the Torah, Kriya Satera, then they would return home and have breakfast, Kachi Adas, then they would return to the Batei Midrashos, to the Beis HaMedrash, and they would learn Ad Chatzi Hayom, until noon. Then they would Daven Mincha, then they would return home and they would eat and drink the rest of the day until the night fall and be mesameach. But he says when a person eats and drinks and he rejoices on the yontif, leimshach b'yayin u'b'schayk b'kalas reish, you shouldn't get this confused with overindulgence in laughter, in folliness, in drunkenness. And say she call me she yesim is a yarbe mitzvah simcha, and to say that whoever drinks more, whoever laughs more, this is a greater mitzvah. Shashikris vaschei karbe vekalis reish ena simcha ela heileles v'sitlos. He said when it comes to that, that's not simcha. That's heileles v'sitlos. That's emptiness and foolishness. El al simcha sheyesh bo avedas yetzer hakol v'lein itztavinu. And we're not commanded on heileles v'sichlus. We weren't commanded in foolishness, in emptiness. We were commanded in simcha that has avodas yetzer hakol. Yetzer hakol, we were commanded on a simcha that has in it the love and service to Hashem. As it states, tachas asher le'avadetas Hashem alakecha b'simcha tuv le'evon me'erev kol. From that, what we quoted before, you learn that there's a way to serve Hashem b'simcha, and that's what he wants. V'yifshar la'aved es Hashem. You cannot serve Hashem mitei shcheik, from frivolity, or kalas reish, lightheadedness, or shikras, or drunkenness. So this is what the Rambam, this is how the Rambam brings this in halacha. Now, what is the difference between the two? It's two basic principles, actually, they're one, but they're two basic principles. Firstly, simcha, true simcha is in the person himself. It's internal. And it's what is known as simcha hanefesh. It's a celebration of the person himself. He has what to celebrate for. It's a celebration of the soul. It's not external. It's not where you externally stimulate yourself with various types of entertainments or artificial fantasies in order that the person should be besimcha. That's heileles. That's emptiness. And that's kalas reish. Secondly, true simcha, the Maral always brings, is something which is rei lismayach olehu. True simcha is something which is befitting to rejoice over. The heileles in kalas reish, that's when a person is so-called happy, or he's so-called celebrating over something that there is nothing to celebrate, something which is not, should not be rejoiced over. And that's holiness, kalas reish, letzonis, and so forth. Because when a person has to all the time feel that he's standing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he's living in his world. And this firstly imposes upon him a great obligation to praise Hashem and to be at an enormous height of simcha, a simcha atzuma, because he is in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for him all of the time. And this David HaMelech writes about literally hundreds of times in the Sefer Tehillim, how he's constantly praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, firstly on his greatness, and secondly for all of the goodness that he constantly does for us. The Gemara tells us, Chayavodim Levorech Mea Brochas B'chol Yoyim. One is obligated to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu 100 times every day with 100 brochas. And all of the time we have this. All of the time. Even at a time of Churban, the Gemara says. Even at a time of disaster, that is also good for us. Gemara brings him a Sechta Brochas, that heaven forbid a person gets a besura sheina tova, he gets some news which is not good, that a father or some close relative dies, but at the same time he inherits, that he's obligated to make 2 brochas, one diomemes, a brocha because it was not good news, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he accepts the judgment of Hashem, and another a shechayonu or a teva meiti, which is a birchas hasimcha, right at the same time, because something good is happening to him, which cannot be not that denied. States that kol haneshama, all of the neshama, tehalelko, should bless, should praise Hashem. So the Gemara darshins, what does it mean, all of the neshama? Neshama comes from the same word as breath. The neshama and breath, neshima, are the same words, because the neshama went into the person through the breath of Hashem, vayipach ba'apov, when he blew into his nostrils. One is obligated to bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu al kol neshima neshima, with every breath that he has. This means that even the, heaven forbid, the great tragedy happens, but if this person is still living, he still has a breath of life left in him, he's obligated to thank Hashem. Kol haneshama, with every part of the soul, that means with every breath that the person has in him. So, from one aspect, person always has to be the great simcha. And if not, then he's a kofi b'teva. He's deche the ragli ashkina. He pushes away the king. But from the other aspect, that's where the seichel is mechayev, where the das imposes upon a person why he should be besimcha. You have what is known as a fool, a shaitan. Sometimes he's laughing. You ask him why he's laughing, he says he doesn't know why. That's the difference. The seichel is mechayev. Why, if a person understands why he's besimcha, there not only is it the greatest mitzvah to be besimcha, but it's an aveira if he's not besimcha. But when a person rejoices over something which he doesn't even know himself, why is he rejoicing? Then that's kalas resh. That's hailas. And that a person should have, because at the same time he always has to feel the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of the great king, and that must evoke also a great yiras ha'odah, a great respect and awe and fear of the king of all. If someone was standing in the presence of a great king, he would be very much besimcha that he was zeicha to such an opportunity, and especially if the great king is giving him all kind of things, but at the same time he wouldn't act like a fool. He would constantly realize that he, in whose presence is he standing. So this also we must always have when we're ever in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. Therefore, when a person becomes a baus keik harbe, in other words, it's an empty simcha. I say harbe because actually a little is permitted. The memches vorim shatere niknes behem. The Mishnah that tells us that the 48 qualities that one needs to become the Torah, that it says b'miutz keik. A little is good. But when one becomes, that's not what Rebbe Akiva is referring to. He's referring to the one who becomes his way. He indulges in it. When one becomes overindulgent in this, then it's purely external entertainment. It's not a celebration. It's not a celebration of the person. It's not a celebration of the soul. And it's not something which one should celebrate on. If you go out to the so-called simchas of people, of other people, what are they celebrating about? Go to Hillbrow, go to Rocky Street, go to the casinos, go to the great holiday spots. What are they celebrating about? They themselves don't know what they're celebrating. They're celebrating, but they don't know what should be celebrated or what for. And they're using all types of external stimulations in order to bring them to that level where they should celebrate. And they'll use entertainments, and they'll use liquor, and they'll use drugs or whatever it might be. So this is Halilus. This is Kalas Rosh. Sometimes it's even more, because sometimes they celebrate over nothing. But there are times when you have people who laugh and rejoice not only over nothing, but over things that should not be rejoiced at. That's what the Chazal call Litzones. For example, a tragedy takes place, or you have a levaya and someone standing there and laughing. Now, this might seem to be strange to you, but this is our world today. Because if you look at the type of entertainment and pastimes the world chooses, they choose movies and TVs and books. And these books and movies are full of shfichas damim. They're full of murder. They're full of violence. They're full of tragedies. And this serves as the entertainment of people. This is Hollywood. It's not Hollywood. This is a warped mind. This is a warped society. And the fruits of the society, of this warped society, unfortunately, tragically, we see all of the time. This becomes even a lower level than Halilus HaKadosh Reish. And that's why in our generation, this is very important with what Rebbe Akiva is telling us. And when a person comes to that, this means that there's no seichel in him. He's lost his mind. What are you celebrating? And then it becomes purely gufnias. It becomes purely physical. A person without a mind is physical. And that's what erva is. That's what promiscuity is. That's what immorality is. The Gemara says, what is immorality and promiscuity? It states when the goof is misgaber al haseichel, when the physical rules over the mental and suffocates it, this is erva. And this is Deche Ragle Ashchina. This sets aside the Shchina. It states in the Torah, on the Maase Eretz Mitzrayim, on all of the acts that took place in Egypt, you shall not do. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, because I will not dwell in your land, if these acts take place. In the parshas of the Arayis it states, because Eretz Yisrael is Eretz HaKdosha. It's not a physical land. It's a physical land with a dimension of Kedusha to it. Well, this is just the opposite. It loses all of its Kedusha, it loses all of its height, and it becomes merely physical. So this is why Rabbi Akiva said that even though there can be nothing more wonderful than simcha, but that's if it's the proper simcha. But if it becomes chayk v'kalas reish, then that's margilin as a odem le'ervo, that can bring a person to immorality and promiscuity. And therefore one has to be very careful. So therefore we have to watch this very carefully. Again, everything must have its balance. We can make good out of the worst things, and you can make bad out of the best things. And this is what Rabbi Akiva is instructing us on. So it must be appropriate. It must be something which is really smayach alof, which is proper to rejoice from. You have very common people where they want to come and they want to make a joke out of everything. They want to make a latzonis out of everything. On this, the Chazal say, it says, Ohei vesa techoches. A person should run to listen to the wisdom of someone who's instructing him which way he should go in. But letzona achas deichem eya techoches. But if you have one leitz, that's a person who wants to laugh at things that shouldn't be laughed at. He's always making jokes that can destroy not one rebuke but 100 rebukes. So therefore this is the general instruction Rabbi Akiva is giving. Now he talks about safeguards, siyogim. We have safeguards that the sages have made for us, but these are safeguards that the person has to institute in his own life. The sages have advised us, but he has to institute in his own life. And he speaks about four. And why four? And what are the significance of these four? He speaks of Torah, wealth, precious abstinence, and wisdom. The Maral explains that a person has four kinyonim, four acquisitions, and through these four acquisitions he becomes an odem hasholem in this world. He becomes a full person in this world. And we call these acquisitions because he's not born with them. There are certain things that a person is born with. Actually, the person, on the other hand, he's born with his own physical body. But on the other hand, it states, ki yitze oru mibeten imay. He goes out of the womb of his mother naked. He's naked from all of these four acquisitions. These acquisitions are Torah, his wealth, his deeds, and his intelligence, his wisdom. And because he has to acquire them, and he's not born with them, this means that they can be lost. Something which you're born with stays with you easier. You got a better chance of keeping it. But something that you're born without, so firstly this means you have to acquire it in this world. If you don't work to acquire it, you won't get it. But secondly, even if you acquire it, you have to guard it, because you can lose it. And this is what Rabbi Akiva is interested in teaching us, how to guard it. A person is not born with his Torah. He has to work hard for it. He's not born with his wealth. He has to work for it. He is not born with his deeds. He is not born with any wisdom that he might have. And therefore, each one needs a siyog, a shmira, something to guard it with. Now we'll go through each one. Since there are four of them, we'll have to be somewhat brief on each one. States Mesora Siyog LeTorah. He starts with Torah because of all of the acquisitions that a person has, not only the most difficult one to acquire is Torah, but the easiest one to lose is Torah. The Gemara brings in Masechta Chagiga on Taf Tesmov Amar Aleph. It says Torah is compared to klizov uklizuch shuchis. It's compared to golden vessels and to glass vessels. Why both? Kosha likna is ki klizov. It's difficult to acquire as a golden vessel. V'neach lishtaber ki klizuchis. And it's as easy to break, it's as easy as to lose as a glass vessel. A glass vessel doesn't cost much. It's easy to get, but it's easy to break. A golden vessel costs a lot, very difficult to get. But once you got it, you can keep it. It won't wear out. Torah has both problems. Very difficult to get, and very easy to lose. And this is why he starts with this, because this needs the greatest shmira, the greatest safeguard. Why is it with Torah this way? Because the Torah is the furthest from the person. Person can hang on to something which is nearer to him, something which is closer. But Torah that comes from another world and is totally olam ha'elyon, olam bilti gashmi, it's a non-physical entity, and the person is from this world, so therefore not only does he have to work very hard to get it, but once he gets it, he has to take good care of it. The Gemara tells us in a number of places. Now, this is something that we do not practice too much today, and it's wrong. Gemara tells us in a number of places that it was their custom, the custom of the Talmidim, of the disciples and the sages of those days, where they would make simonim letorah. They would make all kinds of signs and all types of techniques in order to preserve their Torah. For example, the Gemara says, the Gemara in the Dorim Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and the Gemara brings in Erevin Nun Dalet Beis, Ein HaTere Niknes Ela B'Simonim. And Rashi brings in Shirashirim Ish Harbei Al Yerechai Mipachat Baleilais Kli Zainoi Hei Meseiris V'Simonim. Then Shirashirim it states that there were soldiers surrounding King Solomon's bed to guard him. So Rashi says this is referring to the Torah, and the Torah was guarded with Meseiris. What are Meseiris? Simonim. Signs. Through this, they would remember exactly the Girsa, exactly what was said in the Torah. Every once in a while, you'll notice in Agamoris, it will say Simonim, and have a few words or letters that are very difficult to understand what is meant by that, but these were certain words they made up, and through these words, from each letter would represent a different discussion, and through this they would remember the discussions. But there was a greater emphasis in the old days on this, because it was Teresh Balpeh, it was Balpeh. The Gemara, the Mishnah and the Gemara was not written down, and they had to remember everything by heart, so they used to give themselves numbers and signs and words to remember them by.
But this does not mean it's not relevant today, because we find that even in the Teira Shebikshav, they would make these signs. Gemara says, Lama Nikra Harishenim Sefri. The original sages were called Sefri, Divrei Sefri. Why were they called Sefri? Shaya Sefrim Esa Osias, because they would count the letters. The end of every parsha in the Chumash, if you look at the end of the Seder, in many Chumashim, it will tell you how many words are in that Seder and how many letters are in that Seder. And there was a purpose. That was in order that they shouldn't forget how many letters and how many words. Because some words can be written with an extra letter, some words can be written with lesser letter. And this helped them to remember. It states that they would count the Chaseres and the Yeseres. They will know in each parsha of Chumash and Nach how many words were written Mole with all the letters, how many words were written Chosar, numbers of them were written without a letter, a particular letter. These would all be aids in helping them to remember. If you look in the Mishnah followed a strange style where it always used numbers. For example, Arba Ovis Nezikin. There are four major categories when it comes to Nezikin damages. Toni Rabeshia Yud Gimel Ovis Nezikin. Rabeshia said there were 13. And then it lists off. Toni Rabchia Chov Dalet Ovis Nezikin. Rabchia said there were 24 and then listed off. Or it states Maris Negoim Shnaim Shein Arba. When it comes to determining, defining the Negoim, the different types of leprosies, there are two which are actually subdivided into four. Or Sheish Miles B'mikveh. There are six levels to the type of mikveh one can have. Each one does more than the other. Why did they do all of this? This is all to structure their learning. Now, we would think, well, this is what they chose to do. The Rebbe Akiva is saying no. Brings from the Gemara, Enatera Niknes Ella Bimeseres. These were the Meseres. This is what was meant. The Tziyunim, the signs. And they used all of these signs to help them preserve their Torah. Because a person has to work and be careful to preserve his Torah and not to lose it. And therefore, he had to make different types of aids in order to preserve it. If you look at the Rambam organizes everything. He broke down the Torah into books. He broke the books down into sections. He breaks the sections down into chapters. He breaks the chapters down into halachos. And before each one, he tells us what this covers, what that covers, how many mitzvahs are says, positive commandments, how many negative commandments. This was all the organization and the structuring of what he was learning. It's telling us something. When we learn, we shouldn't just learn, but we have to constantly organize it for ourselves and structure it for ourselves. This belongs there and this belongs here, like the Mishnah did, like the Rambam did. And then we have to give it a structure to help us remember it, because otherwise we'll lose it. And this is what Rabbi Akiva is telling us, the great Rabbi Akiva. Writing down, that's a way to organize it, that's a way to remember it. The Mishnah itself was considered that. It's one of the Chazals, I believe it's in Teres Kahanim, that states, Ushmartem Zu HaMishnah. You shall guard the Torah, This is the Mishnah. What does that mean? You guard the Torah, this is the Mishnah. The Mishnah was the safeguard that the Torah Shel Baal Peh shouldn't become lost. Because the Mishnah made it took gigantic topics of the Torah and it structured each one in a principle. Now the whole topic was difficult to remember. But once it gave us the principle is easy to remember. And now when I remember, I'm reminded of the principle, I can come to the whole topic. That's why Ushmatem Zu HaMishnah. Guarding the Torah, this is what the Mishnah did. There was once, I once mentioned, a long time ago, I don't know if you remember, the great Gaon the Ragachover. This is in one of his tshuvas. So someone once wrote him a shaila, and he wrote him an answer. Later on, this person wrote a sefer, and in the sefer he wrote the shaila that he wrote to the Gaon, the Ragachover, and he printed the Ragachover's answer. Then later on he felt maybe he did wrong, maybe he had no right to print it without asking the Ragachover. So he sent the Ragachover a copy of the sefer and he wrote him what he did, and he said he's sorry, he apologizes, I didn't ask Rishus. So the Ragachover says, what do you have to ask Rishus? You were Makayim Ushmartim Zua Mishnah. He answers it with this Teres Kahanim. What did he mean? He says, you have, by printing my tshuva in your sefer, now you have guarded it from becoming lost. See, I must thank you for it. You have fulfilled Ushmartem Zu HaMishnah. At any rate, this is the way they used to learn. We don't place much emphasis on that today. And maybe that's why we forget so much. And this is how they were always counting. How many melochas are there of Shabbos? 39. Why did they count 39? Because then they could remember them. They would start working them over. And in everything they learned like this. So this is what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Mesoras siog l'Torah. Maral brings another pirish, where some want to say Maseiris means the Kabbalah minarav. Many times Kabbalah's Talmud Mirav, the Torah that a person hears from his Rav, that's called Maseiris. It's interesting, the Maral says, no, that's not the Pshat. Because that's not a Siogla Torah. That's not a safeguard for Torah. The Torah that you learn by your Rebbe is not a safeguard of Torah. He says, Zuhi Gufa Torah. That's the essence of Torah. That's Torah itself. We're not speaking about Torah itself. We're speaking about how to safeguard the Torah. The next one was osher, a person's wealth. Now, he speaks about this next because that's next in line, which is so difficult to guard. And people know that. Fact is, it's called Zuzim Shezozim Yode Liyodei. Morris says, why is it called a Zuz? A Zuz was the name of a coin. Zuz means, Zozim means it moves, because it moves from one hand to the other, from one person to the other. And a person's wealth is also far from him. It's not part of himself. The proof of it states that when a person leaves this world, Ein Malavin Lai, his wealth, his kesef, his ov, gold and silver and precious articles do not go with him. So we see that it's really not part of him. So therefore when he has it in this world, he has to be careful with it, because he turns around, it could be gone. And a person's wealth is part of a person in this world. A Kodesh Baruch Hu gives it to him and he needs it for his... A person has to be a well-balanced person. He needs money in this world. So the Rekiva is telling us now how to safeguard it. So he says, now generally, how would we say how one must safeguard his wealth? So he would say, by keeping it. The less you spend, the less you give away, the better you keep it. And Rekiva tells us just the opposite. He says, the greatest safeguard to wealth is maestros. is the giving away of one tenth of your wealth. Initially, this was the grain to the Levim, because they didn't have a panoso in Eretz Yisrael. They were served in the Beis Hamikdash, but this is inclusive of the money that one gives to the aniim, to the poor, and to needy causes. Now this is strange. We say that in order to keep your wealth, give it away, give a tenth away. It would seem just the opposite. You want to keep your wealth, so you keep it, you don't give it away. And this is the Gemara in Ksubos, and Daf Samech Vav, Seif Amud Beis. It's a very, very astounding piece of Gemara. The Gemara brings about the daughter of Nachdiman Ben Gurion. Nachdiman Ben Gurion was one of the three. Was one of the three most wealthiest men in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was an Ir Avosion, was a city of multitudes, and it had wealthy people in it. And he was one of the three most wealthiest men of Yerushalayim. And he had enough wealth where he and two others could hold out the whole city for years, the Gemara brings. It brings that when his daughter got married, there's a question here with Rashi and Tosfos, but the way Tosfos learns, she came from such a wealthy family, and she had such a great dowry, and he came from such a wealthy family. So he wanted to make sure that he was giving her enough money all of the time. So he went to the Chachomim, and he said, how much money would you consider it proper that I give my wife for Bishomim? Bishomim are good scents and aromas and oils, bath oils and beautifications, things like that. Not jewelry, but bishomim. So it states, poskula chachomim arbem, so the chachomim looked into it. And poskula chachomim arbem eazuvim lekupish lo bishomim lebebe yom. And they said, you should give her, in accordance to the wealth that's here, 400 golden coins daily. For this bishomim, 400 golden coins daily worth. When they came with that decision, Omru Lehem, she said to the Chachomim, Kach tifseku levenei seichem. She gave them a brocha to the sages that this is what your daughters also should have. The Onu Acharel Amen, and they all said Amen. This is what the Gemara brings. And this is the good part of the story. But then the Gemara brings a part which is not good. Toner Rabbonon Maisa, but Rabbi Yehem ben Zakkai Shoyarechei Valachamor. Rabbi Yehem ben Zakkai was riding on a donkey by Yetzim Yerushalayim by Talmidim Mahalchin Achron, and he was going out of Yerushalayim, and his Talmidim were following him. Ro Riva Achas Shoheisa Malaketes Orim, Bein Gleili Behemtim Shel Arba'im. They saw a young woman, and she was gathering barley from the dung of the animals which belonged to the Arabs. Kiven Shirosei saw, when she saw the Chachomim coming, Nis'at for Besaro, she covered her hair, V'omdelofonov, and she stood up before Rabbi Yechon Mezakei, Omrei Lebi Panaseni, and she said, Rebbe, give me panosa, give me something to eat. Omalo biti mi'at. So he said, my daughter, who are you? Omru lei bas Nachdiman ben Gurion ani. I am the daughter of Nachdiman ben Gurion, the same girl, but many years later. Omar lo, so Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, biti, my daughter, momen shel beis avicha heichen hola, shel beis avicha heichen hola. The money of your father's house, where did it go to? Omru lei, Rabbi, leiket dein matlin matlo b'Yushalayim. Is it not like those who say parables in Yerushalayim? Molach momen chosar. If you salt your money away, that's the way to lose it. Amri lo, others say chosad. You want to salt your money away, do chesed with it. In other words, she said, you want to keep your money, then you got to give it away to Tzedakah. That's the insurance, you keep it. He says, my father didn't do that. And he lost his fortune. I'm talking about enormous fortune here. So Rabbi Yechman Zake says, I remember that not only your father was from the wealthiest people, but your father-in-law also was. Where's his money? He says, one money got mixed up with the other, and therefore it all got lost. Omrelei. So she said to Rabbi Yechman Zake, Rabbi Zohor Atok Ishochesamto Aksubosi, do you remember my chasana? Do you remember that you were one of the edim, the witnesses that signed my ksuba? Omrelei le Talmidov. So Rabbi Yechman Zake said to his Talmidim, Zohor Ani Kishochesamti Aksubosi Shozu. I remember when I signed the ksuba of this woman. And I read in the ksuba, Elef Alofim Din Reizov Mi Beisaviho, that a thousand, that's a million dinarim of gold was given to this couple, to her, from her father's house, Chutz Mishel Chomiho, and that's aside of all of the money which was contributed to the wedding by the Chosen, by his father. Bocha Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai wept. Vo'omar Ashreichem Yisrael. How fortunate is Israel. Bizman she'esin v'tzeni shalmokam ein kol uma v'loshin shaletes b'hem. That when they fulfill the will of Hashem, then no one can have power over them. But when they cannot fulfill the will of Hashem, not only do they fall into the hands of an uma shfeila, of a most lowly nation. Rashi says this refers to the Arabs, but not only to an uma shfeila, ela biyad, because this was a maisat states with the Arab, but biyad behemten shel uma shfeila, that they fall into the hands even to the animals of the most lowly nations. Now the Gemara asks, Benagdiman ben Gurim leovat stoka? Nagdiman ben Gurim, he was from the righteous. What do you mean he didn't give stoka? Atanya, we learned Omro Lov, they used to say Anagdim Ben Gurion, every morning when he would go out of his house and he'd go to the Beis HaMedrash, his servants would come. Klimilas Hoya Meitzin Tachtov. His servants used to come and spread carpets all the way from his house to the Beis HaMedrash, and then he would leave it for the poor. Boyin Aniyim Umakaplin Aysem Achrov. And all the poor would run after him and pick up the carpets. So what? And this he did every day. So what do you mean they didn't do tztoka? He buys him a lichvaydu hudava. Gemara says two reasons. First of all, that he did for his own honor. Secondly, kirboy lemevad leovad. It's not the amount the person gives. The Gemara says this is very important. It's not the amount. Person can give $1 million to tztoka. It's not the amount. Kodesh Baruch Hu says echor amarbe veechor amamit. To HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the small amount that the poor man gives is as dear as the large amount as the wealthy man gives. It's in accordance to the capability of the person. Poor man gives R1, but he has nothing. That's more to HaKadosh Baruch Hu than if a wealthy man gives R1 million, but meanwhile he has R1 billion. Says Kirboy Leila Mevad Leovad. He didn't give what he should have given in accordance to his enormous wealth. Kiramri Inshi Lafum Gamlo Shachna. Like people say, how much do you load a camel with? When you load a camel, how much do you put on him? It says in accordance to the strength of the camel. The same thing. How much stoker should one give? In accordance to the strength, to the ability of the person. He gave a lot of stoker, but it wasn't in accordance to his ability. This is what the Gemara brings. And that's what the Gemara says in Tainus, Daf Tes Omer Aleph, Aser Ta Aser. It states, Aser Ta Aser, you shall give Maaser a tenth, Bishvil Shetis Asher. And this will bring you wealth. So, Rebbe Kiva is telling us, how do you want to safeguard your money? The best safeguard of your money, if you give some of it away. And that'll be a safeguard of your money. Now, we need to clarify one more point here. And that is, we can understand what you give is blessed. You're giving that to the poor. Mora says that's the same as giving it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're giving it to his children. So that's blessed. But what does it have to do with your other assets? So Maral explains. He says, what is the significance of Aser to Aser, a tenth? In Numbers, we find this is a principle without exception. All the numbers till 9 are protim. They are all individual numbers. 10 is me'achedem or me'chabedem. 10 joins them together and makes one out of them. For example, what is 10? 10 actually means one group of 10. What does 20 mean? 20 means two groups of 10. What does 30 mean? Three groups of 10. What does 100 mean? That means 10 groups of 10. What does 200 mean? 20 groups of 10. 1,000? 100 groups of 10. This is a principle in mathematics, in every language. It goes into it as to why, that's another story. But this is a chok. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was gezer in the Teva. So all numbers till 10 are protim. Those are individual, isolated numbers. 1 is not 2, and 2 is not 3, and 4 is not 3 or 5. But the 10th comes to join them all together and to make one out of them. This is the power of 10. So the same thing in one's wealth. When he gives a tenth away, not only does that tenth go away, but that is mechaber u'ma'achid, that joins and unifies all of one's wealth. And just like that tenth portion becomes blessed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because that goes to the anim, this brings now a brocha into all of his assets. And actually, this is the power of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the unifying force in the universe, in the world. And many times he's signified with the Yud. It's part of his name, the Ten, for that reason. And that's why it states, Asiri Yekodosh, by Meiser, Meiser Behema, where he gave one out of every 10 of his behemas. This was Asiri, the tenth was Kodosh. So when a person gives that away, not only does that become a brocha, but that unifies all of his wealth and gives brocha to it all. So this is the second kinyan that a person has, and that Rabbi Kiva is telling us how to preserve it. Third kinyan is nedorim siog leprishus. Prishus. Prishus, the Maral says, means prishus min avera. That a person has to separate himself from Aveda in this world. He has to separate himself from the Yetzirah in order that his deeds should be Maisim Tovim, good deeds, and not Maisim Roim, and not evil deeds. Now this, the Maral says, contrary to many popular opinions, this is not predestined at all. This is a kinyan. If a person does good things in this world, that's his, no one else's. If a person does evil things in this world, that's his, no one else's. Because he's not born with deeds. He's mechadish. He creates them himself. And he has to preserve it all the time. Now, why does this need a shmirah? Why does this have to be guarded? The Torah tells us that when a person is born, it states ki ir pera odom yulad. A person is born similar to a young wild donkey. person is not born good. The goodness he's going to have to create in himself. To the contrary, the Teva Odom is born wild. Look at a baby. Can't let a baby do what he wants. You have to instruct the baby, you have to train the baby, you have to develop him, you have to discipline him. Because this is the nature. Not only that, it states, Ki Yetzer Leiva Odom Ramin Uruf. It says, from the beginning, as soon as he moves from the womb of the mother, he's born with the Yetzerah, the Yetzer Hora. Yetzer Tov only comes later. The Yetzer Hora is called Melech Zokin. He's an old king. Why? Because he's there before the new king, before the Yetzer Tov. That only comes later. So therefore, Maisim Tovim, good deeds in a person, you should know, is going against his nature. The evil deeds, which are his if he does them, that is easier to do because that's going with his nature. But the good deeds are going against his nature. Therefore, it takes great labor to be perish min aveira, where a person should separate himself from aveira, and shmira, and he has to guard this. He needs a safeguard for it. Now, many times we need an aid, just like we said that by Torah you will need some additional assistance on how to preserve your Torah. The same thing here. A person needs some assistance many times, an external assistance. How to preserve it. Many times that we want to do good things and we'll do them for a while and then finished. We want to do this, do it for a while and finished. So on that, Rabbi Kiva says, use external siyuas, external assistance. One such external aid is nedarim. David HaMelech said, Eshba ve'akayma. The Gemara brings this in the Dorim. He said, I take a shvuah and I'll fulfill it on many mitzvahs. And the Gemara says, Zeh ner godul, noda l'Hashem elekecho. This is a great thing. Or, Gemara brings Shimon HaTzadik. One said that he was, when it came to a nozir, he was very reluctant. Nozir brought a sacrifice, and he was a Kain. He says he wouldn't eat from the sacrifices because he didn't hold that they were too genuine. But one time he saw a person, he says he was beautiful. And the person told him, he asked him, why did you become a nozir? And he said, because I struggled. I had a battle with my Yetzer Hara. Becoming arrogant over my beauty, and I saw I was losing the battle, so therefore I accepted Naziris upon me. So the Shimon says that was the only time I ever ate from such a sacrifice. Or for example, many times a person says, look, I'm going to give that person some money, or I'm going to give that needy institution some money, I'm going to give, but he doesn't give it. So therefore, if he undertakes a pledge, now he says, look, I made a pledge, I have to give it. Now the Chazal say that people must be very careful when it comes to actual adorim. But what we're talking here, that there is a time and place. And we're talking about such that a person has to know that the fight with the Yetzer Hara and with his own nature is not an easy fight. And therefore he should not feel reluctant to come on to external help in order to help him fight against the Yetzer Hara. This is similar to what we quoted, I believe it was in last week's shir. The Gemara brings in Bebrochas and Daf Yud Zayin, Magala Bepuma, the Rabbaya always said, La'ilam ye'odam orum biyira. that a person has to be very clever and he has to be plotting when it comes to Yiras Hashem, because he has to battle with his Yetzer Hara and he has to outsmart his Yetzer Hara. So therefore Rebbe Akiva is telling us that when it comes to dealing with one's own nature, a person should know that every level that he reaches needs shmirah. He has to guard it so he shouldn't lose it. And many times he has to come onto outside safeguards in order to keep it. And in this way, he can be perish, separate himself from the Yetzer Hara. So this is Siyog, the Dorim Siyog Leprishus. And then finally, he said, the next level, the next kinyan of the person, is his wisdom and intelligence. Now this is, a person is born without this. He has to develop chokhmah. This chokhmah is used in Torah, it's used in everything. And a person, what is the greatest safeguard? Rabbi Kiva says, for chokhmah, it's interesting. What is the greatest safeguard for a person's chokhmah? He says shtiko, silence. What does he mean? He means to be a listener and not to be a talker. Because I'll tell us one of the main attributes in acquiring Torah is ezen shamash. Train yourself to listen. But I'll explain. You have people who never learn. The reason why they never learn is because they're always talking. They don't want to listen. And this is something we'll see in a minute, is very prevalent in our times. He says that when a person is talking, you can't listen. When you listen, you can't talk. Not only that, when a person is talking, he's not really thinking. When he's thinking, he can't talk. Why? Because thinking and listening, you listen and you think, that has to do with the bilti gashmi, the non-physical elements of man. Talking, that's expressing yourself through the physical elements of man. He says both can't work together. Both cannot work together. And therefore, if a person is always talking and he doesn't want to listen, he's not going to be able to learn from others. He's not being able to learn from those who are greater than him. And he's not going to be able to think properly. You got people that are always talking, and they're talking even when they're listening, they're talking and they're saying this and that and a heen and a hair and a hair and a heen. The thinking process is not clear. On the other hand, you have people who are silent. They're thinking. And they're absorbing. And they don't yell. You got people that yell right away. See? Once someone told me, he said, I can convince the person that this is right if he'll listen to me. But he'll never listen. So I can never convince him that this is right. They're always, right away, are yelling. Other people are quiet. They hear what you have to say. They listen. And then they absorb it. And then they turn it over in their mind. And they think it over and over again. So one is working the physical process and the other is working the non-physical process. And you want to come to Chochmah, you have to be a listener. Now I said, mention this is something, but this is what the Chazal tell us. For example, the Chazal tell us, Yofa Ashtiko, Kol Yomai Godalti Beina Hachomim Velei Motzosi Leguf Tev Mishtiko. One of the Tanoim said, that I grew up all of my days amongst the Hachomim, and I found the best thing was to listen. Let them do the talking. Or, Ksil Yishosek, Chochem Yehoshev says when a fool keeps quiet, people think he's a wise man. Or mar bedvorim mar bishtush. Talk too much, and foolishness is going to come out of your mouth. Or bereiv dvorim leyecht al pesha. You talk too much, it's going to come out pesha. Not good things from your mouth. I mentioned this is very important in our days, because in our days the art of listening is almost lost. What do I mean by that? Old days, going back many years ago, it was not uncommon for a Rosh Yeshiva to give a shiur for 4 hours. Or Lahavdil, Elahamdolos, a professor to give a lecture for 3-4 hours. This was not uncommon. This was a lecture, 3-4 hours. Was not uncommon. I remember in my time there a speaker at a banquet, a drosha, could be an hour and a half, 2 hours. As time goes on, this all got cut down, because people can't listen anymore. Can't listen. When I was in the yeshiva, Rosh Yeshivas used to give a shmooze, could be an hour and a half, an hour and three quarters. A shiur was an hour and three quarters, 2 hours. I come back there now, the maximum of a shiur is an hour. Once asked to give to why? He says, those days are forgotten. He says, they can't concentrate that long today. You come to a chasna, and somebody starts talking. Talks more than 5 minutes, the people already are moving their chairs, they're rattling. A second speaker gets up, they all start to, another one. Nobody spoke 5-10 minutes. I remember I repeated this with the old timer. There was the Reverend Matz, an old timer here. Used to learn here, he was 85 years old, Olava Sholem. He was once at a chasna. Someone spoke. He spoke for 10 minutes, then he sat down. Then another one stood up, so someone says, "Oi, noch a drosha, another one." So he looked at him with anger and he says, "Migikumen nor af essen. Did we come only to eat?" It was from the old timers. You came for the drosha. But now, 10, 15, 20 minutes, what was this? Remember, I remember Baron Soloveitchik once came to talk in St. Louis. Spoke 2.5 hours. And the people didn't know what to do with himself. But this was a drosha. 2.5 hours. Okay? 4 hours. But it's got even worse. Who's worse? Today, the ones that structure television programs are instructed, especially in America, that they must change the scene every few seconds. Because that's the span, the maximum span of the concentration of the people who are watching. And if you listen to the talk shows, they are a disgrace. They discuss the most important topics of the day. They'll discuss abortion, death penalty, great political issues. And they'll have the most prominent people there. They can have from the president down. And they'll give him 3 minutes to talk, 2 minutes to talk, and then they'll interrupt him and chop and chop and he and here and finished. Go on to something else. It's disgraceful. Why? They'll tell you why. We'll lose our audience, we'll lose our listeners. See? So how can there be wisdom in the world? How can there be wisdom in the world? When Rabbi Kiva tells us, Siyug l'chokhma shtiko, you want to become wise, learn to listen. Learn to sit through and listen to someone for 3-4 hours. So what would be? A rugby game you watch for 3-4 hours. Even in a university, great professors, ask them how long they can talk. He says, this is how you become wise. So that is the Siyug L'Chochma Shtiko. These are the four kinyonim.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information, or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.